It is so good to see each of you this morning. I know it's a snowy, messy, somewhat messy time, I guess, out there, but it is that time of the year. But it's so good to see you. And if you're visiting today, please make yourself at home. We're thankful you're here. Good to see Brother Tyler back there also. Sister Tannis, good to see her and her family. Good to have you with us, all of you. If I start calling names, we'll be here all day, I'm sure. But it is just so good to see y'all, and I'm just so thankful for how the Lord is working, how he works in our life, and how he does things. And if you'd like to, let's be turning to Exodus chapter number 33. Exodus chapter number 33. And while you're turning there, we will plan on having our baptisms next week. Our plan is, we'll talk to the deacons also. The plan would be to have preaching maybe during the Sunday school time. At 10, and then have our baptisms more so at 11, since we have a few to do. I thought maybe that'd be a good way to do that. Have a time of preaching beforehand, then have everything prepared for the baptisms and not be rushed and what have you, and just do those things. I just thank the Lord for it. I tell you, baptisms is one of my favorite things to do, especially with an indoor baptistry. That makes it a lot easier. Been in rivers and other places, which is sweet and nice too, but it's a little chilly out there. And so thankful for that and God's provision. And again, also those that are interested in taking part in CFC this semester, if you would please stay after for just a few minutes. Going to try to have a brief meeting in preparation there. It's hard to believe that it's already here. I mean, this Thursday, and I think they're already calling for snow and what have you, but we'll see how that works out. And everything as well, because we do know it's that time of the year. But again, I'm just so thankful for what I've already experienced this morning. The singing has just been amazing. Our Sunday school time and just the time of testimony, it's been a blessing. We've been having that for a few weeks now, and it's continued. And it's just been such a blessing to hear what people have to say. I never get tired of hearing how people accepted Christ. I never get tired of hearing their testimony. It's amazing, it's encouraging, it's uplifting, and I tell you, when you look across the room and you see everybody, it's an encouragement, it's a witness. We're being a witness, telling people how Jesus saved me, how he saved you, and you share that with other people, and there's no greater thing than being able to share the gospel with people. And I tell you, this been really excited about the message this morning, and looking at this in Exodus 33, I've read through this before, I've heard preaching on this before, and but I tell you, sometimes the Lord just lays things on your heart in such a way that the experience will come before the message, or the experience will come maybe before the actual the text or verses. And I've just been looking at things a lot the last few weeks, and just praying and trying to just seek the Lord's will on things. And I tell you, it's important that we follow after him. Some of the things that, one of the things that Sister Chelsea said, I tell you, it just goes along so well with the service. One of the things that she was mentioning while giving her testimony is the importance in knowing that your relationship with God is not through another person. It's direct with Jesus himself. We don't go through a priest. We don't go through another person to have a relationship with God. It's Jesus Christ himself. And so don't think that your relationship goes through a man to God. It goes straight to God through Jesus Christ himself. We know he's all God and he's all man. He made provision for it to be that way. And I tell you, you know, I appreciate my Christian friends. I appreciate you more than you'll ever know. I appreciate our church more than you'll ever know. My family more than you'll ever know. And you know, it's good to have that kind of reassurance, that kind of encouragement from Christian friends, from Christian family. But there does come a time in the life of a Christian, you have to have that encouragement straight from the Lord himself. And you have to know it's him. You know, I find value in talking things out. I find value in that. I hope to be, want to be reasonable about things and want to explore options and ideas before making hard and fast decisions. I believe that's what the Lord would have us to do. The Bible says for us to wait on it. not to rush and get ahead of things, you know, and what have you. Maybe spoke along these lines a lot the last little bit, but I tell you, the way that he wants to do things with us is that we have that reassurance from the inside out. You know, I do. People try to be encouragement. There's times I've tried to be an encouragement, try to maybe think of the right things to say under circumstances and say, hey, this person is going through this. I want to help them. Maybe this would be good scripture. Maybe this would be the right words to say. But the reality of it is a lot of times I don't have the words. I don't know. But I want you to know this. The Holy Spirit always knows what to say. And he's always on time, Brother Nathan, always on time. And the Lord wants to have this relationship with every child of God. I want us to see this in the Bible. We see a lot of times leaders in the Bible. We'll see Moses today. He was a leader. He was a leader of a nation. So we look at it that way. We see leaders. We think of Paul. He was a leader, an apostle, a preacher. We see that example a lot of times, but I want you to know this applies for everybody. There's no exemptions in this. If there's any exemption, it would be if we exempted ourselves, and you'll see how that comes to be. You'll see why it is. But I tell you, having the presence of God in your life is the most important thing the child of God can have. You have to have that to succeed. You have to have that to make it through life. It would simply put, be like a fish trying to live outside of water. It's just not going to happen. You're going to struggle for a little bit, and then you're going to die. That's the way it's going to happen. We will struggle for a little while, then spiritually we will die if we don't have the presence of God in our life. I've experienced it. It's a sense or a feeling of hopelessness to know that you're a child of God, to know that you're saved, but yet sometimes don't feel his presence. Then what is wrong? What is wrong? See, the Word of God gives us an answer to that. If you feel like maybe you're floundering around a little bit or what have you, I tell you, this message will help you if you hear it straight from God. It's not from me. It's from the Lord. The Lord gave this to me. And the reason I say it that way, this week I was talking to my mom. And not to get out in the weeds too much or what have you, I'm like just expressing my feelings, my heart. And I'm like, why? Why, God, are these things happening? Why is this happening? And the Lord made it plain in my heart. He said, Jason, I want to make my presence real in your life. And I want you to know that it's me. It's not the kind words from somebody else. It's not the encouragement of somebody else. It's for me, myself. You know how important it is, Brother Allen, to know and feel the presence of God and know that it's him? There's a lot of self-help out there, and self-help will make you feel better maybe for a minute, but usually not too long. I tell you, the Word of God goes beyond self-help. It is God himself that is offering the help. It does come with contingencies. I want you to know this morning that if you think for a second that you can do any old way and God is going to make his presence known, it's not going to happen that way. It doesn't work that way, Brother Norman. God is a righteous God. You have to approach him in the right way. These verses are so plain and so clear. I'm going to get started at I could go on for a while like this, but I want to get started. I'm going to read 33 and 21, and then we'll pray and we'll get started. This is the Lord talking to Moses. And he said, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Let's pray. Lord, I come to you this morning, God, just seeking your help, Lord. Prayed so much this week, studied this week, Lord, and this is straight where you led me in my studies, God, and you didn't move me from it, didn't put me in another place. You led me straight here, and I'm trusting that, standing on that, God, and as much as it's a help to me, God, I pray that you help each heart that's here today, Lord. I don't know what you want to accomplish, Lord. There's things I don't know. I know that I'm limited. But God, I know that you want to make your presence known in our lives, Lord, in the child of God's life. You want to make your presence known. We need your help. We need your guidance, God, and to use spiritual discernment the way that you would have us to follow you correctly. God, I know that that's what you want. We see here today, Moses finds himself in a situation, God, He's seeking help, and I see your response. And God, I pray for that response. God, I pray you help our church. God, I pray you help me. God, I pray you help every heart. Lead us and guide us in all the things that you want to accomplish, Lord, that we wouldn't hold you back, we wouldn't hinder you, but that you would have free reign in all that you want to do, God. Lord, I love you with all my heart, and I pray, God, for those that are lost, that are listening, God, I pray you touch their hearts, help them, God, to see what their need is and understand it, and make no mistake the importance of it, God, in choosing you and accepting you as their Savior. God, help them. God, I pray you keep a hedge around us, Lord. Help us, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. When you start here at Exodus 33 in verse 1 through 11, you kind of get the background to what is going on here. You see how things are coming together, and you look back, and I tell you, Moses has found himself in a hard place a few times trying to lead the people, the nation. See, sometimes you might think a church maybe being a smaller congregation. Moses here leading a nation, so he was the leader of a nation, trying to lead these people, and they were hard to lead at times. I tell you, if he turned his back for a minute, they were off in idolatry and all kinds of things. So it's a hard thing to be caught in the middle, getting direction from God, to share that with other people. You'll see he steps aside for a minute, and the people, they go crazy all the time. And that is not the preface of the message, but that's the situation he found himself in. He wanted and he had a desire to lead the nation of Israel the way God wanted it to be led. Not just what Moses wanted, but what God wanted. That's what he wanted to do. God related to him. He took it in and said, this is what we want to do. And you remember, he come back down off the mountain, and after having the law, and Moses, Aaron, his brother, had already melted down all the gold. They made a golden calf, and the story was, yeah, you know, the people wanted to do this. See, Aaron, he tried to place the blame on the people. He's like, well, I left you in charge. You're supposed to have the backbone to say, no, we're not going to do that. But you see a lot of backpedaling from Aaron. He backpedals a whole lot and say, yeah, we put all this gold in this fire. And a golden calf walked out. And like, yeah, that's not believable. That was his story. See, people want to place blame in other places. There's a lack of accountability a lot of time. But I want you to know, God holds us all accountable. What we say, what we do, how we respond, how we react, God always holds us accountable. You might misread the Bible and think, you know what? God holds the wicked accountable because he's going to judge the wicked. The wicked are going to get what they deserve, and the righteous just kind of ride off in the sunset. He holds his people accountable as well. We get out of line, guess what? We're held accountable just like other people are. You say, well, I'm saved. Yeah, thank the Lord. If you're saved, you're still accountable, and he expects you to live righteously. We talked just a touch on this last week, and I believe you want to see it pretty quickly here at the beginning. If you look at verses 1 through 11, God is dealing with his people. He's telling them to get up and get out, and he's going into a land that he has prepared for them. He's saying, we're going somewhere. We're moving. And anytime you bring movement in, it also brings in the sense of I have to have faith, have to see what's going on. Now, I want us to see here, this wasn't a vision that Moses had. This is direction that God was given. It wasn't Moses' plan to say, you know what, I want to take us into this land, and I've got these plans, I'm going to do these things. God said, no, 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 this is what I'm directing you to do. So the vision, the guidance, is coming from God himself. He's just asking Moses to be obedient. You just go where I'm telling you to go. And you see here, it's not just Moses. He's got to lead the nation also. You've got to talk to the nation, explain to the nation, this is what God is having us to do. But it's not that simple. It's not just as simple as, hey, everybody pack your bags, we're going to go and do this. There's some stipulations. I think, and I've heard it from testimonies, I think sometimes the reason why after salvation, I'm talking to saved people this morning. I think sometimes after salvation, the reason we get stagnant is we haven't laid some things down. We haven't fully committed over. We haven't fully converted. And see, if you're not fully converted, you're literally going to spin your wheels where you're at until you get that thing right. Say, preacher, are you asking me to be perfect? I know. I know we're none perfect. We all are going to mess up, say, and do things we shouldn't say. But if you stay in that state without repentance, that's where you're going to stay. Use an illustration of a fish out of water. This is a fish in a dirty fish bowl. You don't want to stay in that condition. Everything's hazy. Everything's messy. It's not the condition that you want to be in. You have these ideas. I want to go for God. Well, you're not going to be able to go for God until you let some things go. The Bible's very clear on that. If you think that you can take the sin that you're not willing to let go of and go for God, you're not going to go. It will be dealt with one way or another. And see, that's what we see here in these first 11 verses. They're saying, it says here, the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, and thou and thy people, which thou hast brought up out of the land, which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. And he goes on to say, he will take care of all the foes that are there that they're going to be dealing with. And then it also goes on to say this right here in verse number 4. And when the people, verse number 3, and it says, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee. For thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. He said, I'm not going to go with you. Now that just does not make sense, does it? Think about this. I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. I will be right there with you is what we're used to hearing, and that's what the Bible teaches. But what is he saying here? What is he saying? He's saying, I will deliver you from all of your foes, but I'm not going to go with you because you're stiff-necked. You know what stiff-necked means? A lot like it sounds, stubborn. Your head's stiff, you're stiff-necked. That means your head's not moving one way or another. You're doing this, and this, you're not going to be moved off of this, and this is how it's going to be. And guess what? God said, I'm not going to go with you. Wow, why not? You see, the thing about it is, in God's mercy, he was saying, I'm not going to go with you because I will have to deal with you just like I'm dealing with your enemies, because you're not acting any better than them. You're not living Christ-like. You're not acting like you're supposed to act. I tell you, so what do you do? What do you do in the situation? What it talks about here, they had their ornaments on. They're all geared up, and they had the ornaments on and all these things. When you look at those ornaments, it was ornaments of idolatry. It is so easy to eat up with that. The way the world is today, the world that we live in, you see things, and I'm telling you, it's not just young people, it's older people, it's all generations and ages. We get set in things, we say, oh, this is okay, and this is all right, and I'm going to listen to this, and I'm going to read this, I'm going to watch this, I'm going to dabble in that, and it's okay, and guess what? It's not. God deals with all sin. Not just the sin of the wicked. You know, he deals with the sin of the righteous too. You know, righteous people can sin. You know, God's people sin. You know that? You see it all in the Bible. Break it down. Here's the thing too. Not everybody is all right, and not everybody is all wrong. Brother Ben, sometimes you see a lot of gray, and you got to read through it. But here's the thing. God sees in black and white. He knows what his law says, and he knows when we break it. He knows how we respond to it. He knows if we have a spirit of judgment about us. He knows if we have a spirit of mercy about us, and what we deal out is what we're going to get back in return. That's what the Bible says. So how do we deal with these things? He's saying, I'm not going to go with you. I'll send an angel, but I'm not going with you because I would consume you. You're not acting right. You're being stiff-necked. And I won't go with you. And let's look a little bit further. Verse number 5. For the Lord had said unto Moses, saying to the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of the mount of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. He's saying, turn back to me. You know, that's a lot more simple than what Satan wants you to think it is. The devil wants you to think that's not a task that you can overcome, that your sin is not something that can be overcome. When Jesus died on the cross for the sin of the world, he said it is finished. That's everything. That's all the sin. In turn, he asked for us to ask for forgiveness and do a 180, not a 360. See, a lot of times that's what happens. People do a 360. They turn away from it and turn right back into it, and there you are. 360, you're spinning your wheels. You do a 180, you turn around and you keep on going. There's a difference. Very plain and easy to see. He asked for repentance is what he's saying here. Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it up against the camp and afar off from the camp and called the tabernacle of the congregation. What he did, he took where they met with God outside the camp where it was a sinful place and removed it. So the people are now here. The tabernacle is now there, and they're looking to see what's happening. So they're off to the side. They're spectators at this point. They're waiting to see what happens. See, a lot of times that's how we spend our time too, waiting to see what's going to happen. Well, this person has made this decision, this choice, and now we stand here and wait to see how God responds, right? Well, what's God going to do? How's he going to deal with this? Thank the Lord here when you see Moses' intent and where he's coming from. Verse number 8, and it came to pass when Moses went out of the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. They knew by that instant, that cloudy pillar, it stopped. They knew that's how they followed. That's how they followed God by day. The cloudy pillar, the pillar cloud there, they would follow that during the day, and at night they'd follow the fire. That's how they knew they were following the presence of God. I want you to know this. If the presence of God ever gets a hold of you, you will know it. I'm going to say that again. If the Spirit, the presence of God, ever rests on you, you will know it. And I say that reverently. I don't say that in a spirit of being fearful. I say that in a spirit of rejoicing. Confirmation and comfort is what I'm saying. It's hard to put into words. When the Lord comes in, the Holy Spirit, you don't know, it's like the wind, you don't know where it listeth, where it comes from, but he comes in, and then he just rests on his people. I tell you, that's the best place that you and I could ever be. Problem is, we're people. We do a lot of moving, when a lot of times we just need to stay right where God has put us and just stay right where he wants us to be. We see these things coming together. They were waiting and watching to see what was going to take place next. And it goes on down to verse number 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. Now know this, you're going to see here in a minute, that man has not seen God at any time and lived. So we know Moses didn't see him literally face to face like you and I are seeing one another. You say, wow, that's kind of hard to comprehend. This is what I want you to understand about this. How do friends talk? See, Moses was a friend with God. They had a friendly conversation. You and I sometimes will pray to God. We'll pray. We'll go about our business. We'll pray maybe quickly. Go back to doing what we are doing. But it's different when you stop and you have lunch with a friend. That's where you talk and he talks. She talks. You talk back and forth one to another. That's what Moses was doing with the Lord here. We're doing with God here. He had a conversation with him. When's the last time you had a conversation with God? I'm not talking about prayer. When's the last time you had a conversation where you ask him something and you just got quiet and listened? He will answer. You see, that's the importance of what we need to see here about his presence. A lot of times we don't wait for an answer. We see things the way we see it. We think it's going to play out the way we foresee it to play out, and then that's all we do. But if you really want to be in the will of God and be in the presence of God, you've got to give him the opportunity to do that. Give him the opportunity to respond back to us. That's what we got to understand and see here. Now, when you go down, you look at verses 12 through 13. Moses has a question. It says, and Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, and I will know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight. And consider that this nation is thy people. He's saying, Lord, you're saying these things to me. I've had people tell me and give me comfort in words. You're saying these things to me, but who are you going to send with me? Who's going to help me? You remember back, Moses, supposedly he couldn't talk very well. He couldn't talk good. So he sent his brother Aaron, because evidently Aaron was a good talker. Maybe Aaron's a good talker, but he had some problem with leadership, it sounds like. When you look back, you see some of those things. So Moses had in his head, okay, Lord, you're asking me to do this big task. You're asking me to do this. Who are you going to send with me? Who are you going to send with me to make sure this thing happens like it's supposed to? My goodness, is that not a picture of logic? You know, when you start planning things out, you get a game plan and you put things together and you think, wow, you know, this person would be great at this, and oh, we can ask that person would be great at this, and you plan things out and all this, and Moses is having a conversation with God, and he's saying, you're saying these strong and powerful things, but who are you going to send with me to help me? Who are you going to send to help me to make sure all this thing happens? I can't do it by myself. I think that's one of the things we need to be honest with ourselves most often about life, is we cannot do this by ourselves. Parents, you can't parent by yourself. Church, we can't church by ourselves. I can't preach by myself. Deacons can't deacon by themselves. Brother Nathan, you can't do what you do by yourself. The Bible is very plain and clear on this. We think maybe we can, but we can't. We can't do these things. And Moses is asking this question, who are you going to send with me? How are we going to make this thing happen? Who's going to go with me? I tell you, the response that we see and we get in the next two verses is all that we really need to know. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Now, let's just slow down and think about things just a minute. As they were starting out this journey, as they were starting things out, the concern was the sin that was in the nation. That was what was holding them back at that leg of the race. Until you let go of your idolatry, until you repent of your sin, you're not going anywhere else. I'll ask you, I tell you, I want to help us. This is how the Lord has delivered it to me. He's laying this out as a blueprint for us to follow. Do you have sin in your life? Do you have something in your life that's holding you back? You have to deal with that first. Repentance is made out to be a hard thing, but it's really not. I think repentance and forgiveness is two of the most powerful things that we as people can do. It absolutely is letting that thing go and moving forward for the glory of God, whatever that is, letting it go and moving forward. I tell you, you're going to start seeing the presence of God in your life if you let that first part go. You see that go through, you're going to have a presence about you. And you know what I find most miraculous about this? You got to grasp this. I love every single one of you. I'd go into battle, Brother Curtis, with every single one of you. And I mean that. But Brother Tyler, I tell you what, there's something else when you got the presence of God with you. That changes everything. God didn't say, you know what, I'm going to send you church with you. He didn't say, I'm going to find all these people out here, and I'm going to give you the biggest army I can find, and I'm going to send them with you. You know what he said, Mom? I'll go with you. I'll go with you, brother. I'll go with you. What better source of help do you have? You think about that, Brother Rodney. You think about the power of what that says. Here's the thing. If we're stagnant and moving here and we're waiting for help to come or whatever, the presence of God is mobile. It doesn't just stay in one place. We think, oh, let's go to church. That's where the presence of God is. No. He's not bound. The presence of God is wherever He is. You know what the presence is, Sister Kim? The opposite of absence. That's it. The opposite of absence. I tell you this, I want to be where the presence of God is. The stipulation I see here is you get right with God and you can be in His presence. I would not want anything to hold me back from that. You think if I had the power to make something right, if I had the power to say I always want the presence of God in my life, get right with Him and stay with Him. Just like the pillar. When that cloud moved during the day, when He moves, move with Him. When it stops, you stop. Makes it simple, doesn't it? Well, how do I know? How do I know if it's God? I tell you, He will put it in your heart. If you follow His word, you're living in His will, there is something in here that directs you, and you know it. God isn't going to do these things and say, I want to help you and lead you and guide you. Now, good luck finding me. He doesn't do that. But what happens? What's the reality of it? We go back and you look at the idolatry that they went into. This is the children of God, the children of Israel. It wasn't some pagan country. It was His own people. Sometimes they're in, sometimes they're out. But guess what? When you're not feeling it, well, it's probably God's fault. It's never His fault. It's our fault when we step outside of His will. He didn't say, I'm going to send somebody else with you. He said, I will go with you. What better reassurance is that? You think about moving into a new year. We think about moving forward as a church and seeing things. Church, we've been through some things, and I know that, but you look forward and moving forward into something else. God wants us to go with Him. We're His people. If we're not moving forward for Him, it would be our fault. Praise God, I see a desire. I see a desire in our church to move forward for Him and do things for Him and follow Him. And what you're going to see here, the importance of His presence. Him staying right there with us. You know what Moses said? This is how we need to be. If we as a church are facing a new task, a new ministry, a new thing that we are thinking about doing, you know what we first need to say is, Lord, if You're not going with us, I don't want to go. Brother Allen, if the Lord ain't going to be there, I don't want to go. I want to be where He is. That's the beautiful thing about heaven. Once you are in the presence of Jesus Christ, you never leave His sight. That's the beautiful thing about getting to heaven. Boy, I tell you, I get excited about that. Never get out of His sight there. We never get out of His sight here. We get out of fellowship. But you think about following God and what it means to follow Him. It's not following what we perceive. It is absolutely sincerely following Him. And you will know. You will know. I hear this sometimes. Sometimes I just don't feel like praying. Sometimes I just don't. Here's the thing. Do what the Bible prescribes and you will see the results. I don't want to get caught up in feelings. We're human. We have emotions, we have feelings, and sometimes it's excitement, sometimes it's sadness, and I understand that. But if you're following God the way that the Bible says to follow Him, you can have peace and you can have joy in your heart because He's there, because you're doing what He's asked you to do. I tell you, it's a beautiful thing when you see all these things come together. You look at verse number 14 again, and He said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Now, verse number 16 through 17. It says, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, and from the people that are upon the face of the earth? How are we going to know? How will I know? Well, I need some confirmation. How am I going to know the separation here? How am I going to know? You see, He had some very good questions. I want you to know, too, it's never good for us to question God in a disproving manner. But I believe it's okay to have a conversation with God and how He wants you to move forward. I think that's the difference. You see what it says there at the beginning, how they talked as friends. Moses was not trying to disprove God. He wanted to know, I'm going to do this, but I need to know some things. You know, that confirmation that you get from the Holy Spirit is, I'm telling you, there is a powerful way of finding that and experiencing that. Let's read those verses again. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? How are we going to know that we, your people, are on the right page? Is it not that in thou goest with us, that you're going to be with us, so we shall be separated? And I, thy people, from the people that are upon the face of the earth. Now we need to have some, we need to draw some lines here. The bad guy needs to be listed as the bad guy, and we need to be listed as the good guy. I just put it in my terms, okay? And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I will know, and I know thee by name. You know, Lord don't have to look down the earth and try to figure out who's who. He knows who you are. He knows who His is. There's a new name written down in heaven. He's the one. Who do you think wrote the name? He knows who we are. He knows that when we're His, He knows that. You look at verse number 18, he says, and this is Moses speaking. He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Have you ever asked the Lord to do that? Have you ever asked the Lord just to give you that peace? The Lord to show you His glory? You know, it's okay to ask for that. If Moses could ask for it, you and I could ask for that. See, when you talk about the Christian walk, sometimes we listen to the sad songs. Sometimes we listen to the sad stories. And we take it upon ourselves that it's hard, it's begrudging. But you know, there's victory in following the Lord. 120. There's victory. There's happiness. We never need to forget that. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Show me again how we win. Show me again how this works out. Lord, if I do things according to your will, show me how we win. Think it's okay to ask for? I do. Bible teaches us a whole lot about what happens if we're disobedient. But what if we're doing things right? Here's the thing. A lot of times we get things wrong, don't we? But you know, sometimes we do get things right. The child of God can be right with God and do things right. We sometimes live defeated when we really shouldn't. Again, now if you've got something out there that you need to confess and make right, you've got to get that right. But if you've done that, what's holding you back from victory? What's holding us back? Now look at this right here. Look at these last verses. I'm going to close here pretty soon. You put these last verses together, 19 through 23. Moses asked a pointed question. Show me your goodness. Show me your glory. Lord, I want to be excited about what we're doing. I want to have that joy, that happiness, that experience of what we're getting ready to do and what we're doing. And I want to relay this to the nation of Israel. I want us to be on one page and moving together. And this is what the Lord said. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. I'll stop right there. See, that God is the one that's empowered. He's the one that's in control, just like we sang this morning. He's the one that's in control. He said, I'll be merciful to who I will be. I'll be graceful. Who do you think he's going to be merciful and graceful to? What stipulations? Just anybody he wants to? He can do what he wants to. He's God. But you think about the likelihood of somebody that's willing to show forbearance, forgiveness. See, that's what the Lord looks for in our lives. That's what he's looking at from his children. People that's willing to show forgiveness, forbearance, and the willingness to follow after him. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy and to whom I will show mercy. Verse number 20, and he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. I'm not going to look at the Lord face to face. And I liken it to like this. I look at it this way. We can't see the future. Nobody here knows what's going to happen outside of what we read in the Word of God and how it's going to happen in the book of Revelation, those things that are prophesied. But we can't see the future outside of what the Word of God shares with us. We can't see the face of God. But I want you to know this, you absolutely can see where He's been. Brother Allen, look back on your life. Think about that. The ups, the downs, the goods and the bads. If you truly are a child of God, can you say God's been good to you and led you through some things? Amen. Every saved person should say amen right here. I mean, seriously. It's not to me be the glory, to Him be the glory. I look back on things in my life that gives me encouragement for things to come, that even though I don't know what's going to happen, I know if I give it to Him, He will do it right. He will take care of it. You know, that's where you and I can have rest. Not in what am I going to do? How am I going to fix this? What am I going to do? If you give it to God, it will be done right. I tell you, this hits home. And He said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. You look at Psalm 62, 6 through 8. This is David talking here. David experienced some things. Looking back on his experience, talking about the rock, David says here, He is my rock and my salvation. You see, we can't see God, but you can see Jesus. You see what He did on the cross. You see the finished work that He completed. You see and understand the mercy and grace that He has for us. He is my rock and He is my salvation. He is my defense. You know, He's our advocate. Think about the biggest case, the biggest trial that we will ever face. Now, there's a lot of mini trials, but there's a big trial. You know what the big trial is? Accepting Christ or not. He's our advocate. There's one advocate with the Father. That's the man, Christ Jesus. He's the one that as you face God, that will say, He's mine. He's been forgiven. He's my rock. He's my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. This is the advice that David gives. Trust in Him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. He's saying, whatever your problem is, trust Him at all times. You know, there's not one thing that you've gone through, not one thing that you're going to go through that He can't handle. I'm not giving you just some good thinking. I'm not giving you some help, self-help. I'm talking out straight out of the Bible from a man who went through some things with the Lord. You want to get things right with God. You want to be in the presence of God. The best advice I can give to you is pour your heart out to Him and have a conversation with Him and ask Him. Here's the thing. I'm not trying to make movement. I don't try to make things happen. I don't believe in that, but I believe with all my heart there's people here that need help. I know I'm one of them. I know I'm one of them. I need God's help, His presence, and His guidance. And I tell you, and I want you to know, if you're here this morning and you need it, you can have it. Or we can stand up and we can walk out and we can keep spinning our wheels. The choice truly is ours. The choice was Moses. It was his choice to make. He could have said, I just still don't believe it. But no, he was willing to go with Him. The Lord told him what he needed to do. The Lord has told us what we need to do. It's up to us if we do it or not. I'll close with that. I'll ask the ladies if they will to come. We'll have a time of invitation. Father, I thank You so much, Lord, for Your word.